Please open your Bibles this morning to the Romans chapter 8. Our main text today will be verse 1, though we'll be dealing with much of Romans 8 and part of Romans 7 to give us a full understanding of verse 1. So I will read this morning from verse 1 to verse 11. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Let's pray. Most glorious God and Father, I pray this morning that we will all be left in awe as we look at one of the greatest truths in all of Scripture. That thing, Father, that you have done. That thing, Father, that you have done in Christ Jesus to redeem us from our own wickedness. To take away those things, Father, that we tend to strive after as a legalistic mandate. And to give us the beauty of who you are and the freedom to pursue righteousness. That, Father, what we deserve has been laid upon Christ. May we rejoice, Father, knowing that nothing in this world, not a thought, not a person, not a soul, not a situation can take us away from your love that is in Christ Jesus. Father, we praise you this morning and thank you for our salvation in Christ. It is in His name I pray. Amen. As we consider this morning this text in Romans 8, we need to understand why this is such a great text of Scripture. Why it should be the main focus, if you will, the grid that we think through in life. Because when we deal with the reality of what our human condition is, as we saw this morning in Psalm 14, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand. who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have altogether become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. That is our condition. When we were born, this is who he was talking about. You and me. We hated God. And we proved our hatred to God by every step of our life, violating his perfect and beautiful law, distorting his words in such a way that we would justify our own behavior, deserving the full measure of his wrath. The depravity of our lives overwhelmed us as the very breath that we breathe. This is not speaking of your next door neighbor. Do not look around and say, yeah, but I wasn't all that bad. We all deserve the wrath of God. And beyond that, we are also ones who want to believe our own hearts. And Jeremiah tells us very clearly that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We tend, even as believers, to follow our own heart. As believers, we tend to chase after things that are of our own desire, and we forsake the wisdom of God's word. And this morning we are going to look at the Christian condition and how we deal with the reality of who we are and how we are to think about everything. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning, that our problem is following our own ideas, our own emotions, and not heeding to what God says is beautiful and good. Not taking the word that is perfect and realizing that if God has spoken to us, then what he has to say is true. And so we know that what it says about our fallen human condition is absolutely true. But we also know that what he says as promises and decrees that he has made in light of the person and work of Jesus Christ stands firm and sure. It is immovable. And it is the truth about who we are. And so before we look at Romans 8, we need to begin in Romans 7. Because Romans 7 is what really tells us the problem. What is the Christian condition? Is the Christian condition this mind that is perfect now? That seeks God all the time. That does good. That never shows the corruptness of our nature. We need to understand what God says about our current condition. And I find it fascinating that as we look at what Paul is speaking of in Romans 7. That we find him not turning away from reality. But he's speaking about himself in light of what he has in salvation. He's speaking of what he battles with every day. And we need to understand that these are real battles. This is the reality. But then he's going to give us the solution. He's going to tell us how to deal with this reality. Starting in verse 7 of Romans 7, he says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. And if we look at that, we understand that there's something happening here that Paul is beginning to unravel for us. The very aspect that God gave the law on Mount Sinai tells us that God was given a grace to mankind. And we'll understand that more in a moment, because Paul is really dealing more with his struggle inside in these passages than he is dealing with, because there's confusion here sometimes in these passages. But what Paul is dealing with is his own wrestling. His own battle within. And how his mind thinks about things. And he recognizes the truth about himself. And more importantly, we will see that he recognizes the truth of God, which overcomes the truth of what is happening to him. And so we realize just by his first statement that we have knowledge of sin because God gave us that knowledge in his law. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desires. For apart from the law, sin was dead. This is where we can get some confusion. Because then we can ask, why did God give us a law then? I would have never died. We know that's not true, because we know in chapter 6 it talks about that reality. That before the law was given, people sinned and they died because of it. No, what Paul is referring to here more than anything else is the moment I found out that I have sinned against God, I died. I feel the death penalty upon me. I know that I have sinned against the great God, and now I have died. Before then, I was happy. Before then, I was running amok and thinking I was good. And so before sin took the opportunity to covet, even after I found out that it was sin, I now die because of it. My focus in my mind is I'm dead. I have sinned, which is a proper response in one sense when you are confronted by a holy God. Oh, Lord, depart from me, for I am a man of unclean lips who live amongst the people of unclean lips. So there is this aspect that we have a right reaction when we are confronted with the law and we go, I'm dead. My life is going to be taken from me. I have nothing because I have come against the law of God. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and it killed me. You understand what he's trying to convey to us. The sin that is already living in you prior to the commandment was awakened and it fought against the law. And it produced death. In him, he recognized, I'm dead. It brought about death to me. We struggle with these ideas. Paul is testifying to his own struggle as a believer. Therefore, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. So he acknowledges this reality. No, the law is good. It's holy. It's just. It's right. But sin in me deceived me. And by it killed me. Now I'm wrestling in my own mind. I'm dead. I have shaken my fist at a righteous God. And he realizes this reality. And he's acknowledging his struggle. An apostle. We all struggle. This is part of our war. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. When we read this, we go, "What?" It's almost like you're making no sense, Paul. You just said it killed you. Now you're saying it didn't. Because he's acknowledging that the law is good. The law didn't kill me. The law doesn't kill you. Your sin does. The law is holy and good. It shows the character of God. And it shows holiness and righteousness. It is good. It is beautiful. It is righteous. But Paul is talking about his sin. It is the sin in me that I recognize goes against the perfect will of God. And now I'm dead. I have nothing to stand before God with. I am condemned. I am condemned in my mind and in my heart because the law is good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what was good. So that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. You see, the whole purpose of the law was for us to recognize our sinfulness. To recognize our depravity. And the reality in each one of our lives should recognize that reality. Because if we don't recognize that reality, that I am dead because of sin, then we will not understand life in the Spirit. We will not understand the promise of God and the decree of God to our salvation. We will only look at it as though it's a ticket out of hell. My get out of jail free card. But it has to do with your sin. It has to do with how you think about your sin. Remember, Paul is talking now about himself as a believer. For we know that the law is spiritual. But I am carnal, sold under sin. So now Paul begins to expand and says there's a distinction, spiritual, carnal. And he is beginning to give us this condition that you and I have to deal with. You see, when we look forward to heaven, one of the things we look forward to is the carnal nature being totally destroyed. Where the desire of evil is never present again. Where we can freely serve and worship God free of temptation. But that is not where we are today. We are still in the sinful flesh that must be dealt with day by day. For what I am doing, I do not understand. Yeah, if each one of you stop and really contemplate these next few passages, it should be very probable that you will identify with the very words of Paul. Why? When I know this is sin, why have I done this? Why has my mind turned to such an evil thing? Why has that come from my mouth? Why have I treated someone I love in such a despicable way? We ask those questions. And we fail to make the distinction Paul is making the distinction. He's making it very clear to us what the problem is. What the Christian condition is in this world. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will do, or what I want to do, that I do not practice. But that which I hate, I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law, it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, and he's making the distinction now, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Anybody familiar with this in your life? Are you familiar with it? Do you understand what Paul is getting at when he's trying to tell you that there is a fight that is happening in you and your flesh is coming against you day in and day out, and you put yourself in this place where you're going, why? Why would I do such a thing? Why would I turn against my God? Paul's acknowledging that what the Word of God says about his flesh is true. Paul is acknowledging that what the Word of God says about the law is true. Paul is making that clear to us. And so he says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing dwells. Paul has recognized about himself, and what you and I have got to do is understand our condition, and you've got to acknowledge that what is in your flesh is evil. You have to know the difference between the spirit that brings life and the flesh that brings death. Now, I want you to understand that what is happening here is it's talking about what is going through your mind. Because we know that life and death is in the hand of God. But what is in the mind of man will dictate how he sees everything. And so he's acknowledging right now that in his flesh nothing good dwells, which should tell each one of us that when we look to our flesh, we will find nothing good. And when we think there is nothing good, it indicates to us we are living in our flesh. You see, just because you are a believer does not mean that you have this perfect life of living in the Spirit. But as we know in Galatians, it says that the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. For the good I will to do, I do not do. But the evil, Paul does not mince words here. He talks about his struggle. It's evil to act according to my flesh. It's evil to live according to the flesh. Because the flesh is our sin nature. And sin takes the opportunity afforded by the law and kills us. 17 says, but now it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. We can feel condemned because of the sin that dwells in us. Because we know that we are sinners. And the law makes that apparent. So our guilt tells us that we are without hope. We are guilty. However, if Christ be in us, then all guilt and condemnation is gone because of Christ. He has taken it all upon himself and freed us from the law of sin and death. To live in the thought of being condemned is to allow the flesh to continue to deceive us and forget the work of Christ. We're going to see this clearly in a moment. To live in the Spirit is to trust the Word of God, His promises. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Our continuing battle is with the flesh. The only thing we have to stand against the flesh is the mind of the Spirit, the Word of God. This is what we are going to unfold, is this truth about our standing. That's what we're going to see. Our standing with God, not how we think in the battle against the flesh. We have to overcome the flesh by what God said is true. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find it in a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. You see, he's got this distinguishing aspect. That's why we know he's a Christian. That's why he knows we're talking about his life as a child of God. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? So we see here that Paul now gives us that the problem that he has is the two laws that are working in him. He has that outward man, that fleshly man that is under the law of sin. That's all the sinful nature knows. Sin, sin, sin. I want to violate God. I want to destroy the Word of God. I want to come against Him. And then we have the mind of the Spirit. We have that inward mind that God has given us with our new nature. A nature that desires the good. And that is why we have this battle. Because unbelievers do not do this. This is, unbelievers do not war and feel like I'm coveting, I'm dying. Saying I'm coveting, I'm going to take that. That's going to be mine and I'm going to be happy once it becomes mine. That's what unbelievers do. This is the war of a believer. But Paul does not leave us in that war. He does not just say, okay, guys, look, this is the way life is going to be. This is just the way it's going to be for you. One day you're going to feel redeemed. The next day you're going to feel condemned. It's not what he does. He gives us this Christian condition that we continually live in now today. But then he gives us something else because he sees his longing, his distress. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? He doesn't continue to go on and say, well, you know, guys, yeah, I'm depraved. What do you expect out of me? That is probably one of the things that bothers me the most about reformed people. I hear it all the time. Yeah, but I'm depraved. I have the depravity of sin. So that's the thing. That is an abomination against the gospel of Jesus Christ. To justify living in the flesh by the knowledge that Paul has shared with us today. That is an abomination against the cross of Jesus Christ. He doesn't leave us there. He doesn't say, you guys are just going to have to deal with this. It's not what he says. So I want you guys to listen to me, for every one of us, because there is no one person in this room that does not have this struggle at times. I feel condemned. I feel like I'm not good enough. Oh, gosh, I'm not living that way. I feel condemned. I want you to understand something, which will be explained out in chapter 8. That is your flesh. That is sin taking advantage of you and bringing death upon your mind and upon your heart. Know that. It is your flesh that is telling you that. Because he cries out, "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. But his next statement is the solution to the condemnation that we feel at times. He gives the truth about us. He gives the truth about himself. What a struggle we see here. What an awful life. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. He doesn't tell us to stay there. He tells us, "Do you understand what has happened? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." You, if you are in Christ Jesus, God says, and he pronounces upon you, no. You are redeemed. Every time your flesh comes against you, you say, there is no condemnation. God promises, and God is true. And every man be a liar, including myself. When I tell myself I am condemned, when I tell myself that I am unrighteous, when I tell myself that I am going to face the wrath of God, you lie against the gospel. Your sin is deceiving you. Your flesh has risen up against God. You are not condemned. Thus says the Lord our God, you as a child of God are not condemned. It's not a question. It's not a debate. It's a reality of what God has done in Christ Jesus. Do not let your flesh tell you anything different. This is the grid. This is where our grid starts. Nobody can condemn you. No one. Because God has redeemed you. Now listen to this. There's two aspects here that we need to understand about condemnation in this passage. There is a proclamation here. All right? There is a proclamation of God's mercy and God's grace upon those who are in Christ. And so we have two aspects. One, it is a matter of legal justice. Judgment rendered, sentence passed, guilty, condemned, acquitted. So when we look at this aspect of condemnation, and he tells you, I want you to know he's talking to you here. And that is because you are in Christ. He looks at you And as the judge of all the earth, he says, acquitted. No condemnation. The penalty has been paid. Justice has been served. You have been liberated. That is what our minds need to know. You are free. You are liberated from the tyranny that sin produces in you because of the law. Your sin does not have authority. God does. Sin bows down to God because it will be utterly destroyed in the end. No more sin. You are legally justified. Listen to my words. And etch them upon your heart and upon your mind. You are acquitted and found not guilty. It tells us in Hebrews that even the guilt of our sin has been removed. That we no longer have to live in that guilt. We know the truth. But if God says that in Christ He removed our guilt, then He removed our guilt. See, that's living in the Spirit. Acknowledging God's promises and decrees upon His redeemed people. The second thing, when we have to deal with the word condemned in this passage, following the aspect of what Paul has been dealing with here, and what he continues to say in this, it is a matter of condemned thinking, not actually being condemned. You feel condemned. This happens when one who has been redeemed by the sacrifice of Christ, who bore the justice and wrath due to us because of our sin, sets our minds on the things of the flesh and forgets that all guilt has been taken away and we have been redeemed, set free from the law of sin and death. There is, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, judgment rendered. Legal judgment has been rendered upon you, and there is no condemnation. As Christ Himself said, it is finished. When we talk about preaching the gospel to ourselves every day, this is what we're talking about. I am not condemned. And when our flesh wants to rise up and take us to a place of condemnation, it's when we say, Jesus died. I am not condemned. I don't care how I feel. I don't care what that person said to me. I am not condemned. I am alive in Christ. I have the Spirit of the living God within me. And that's what he says next, because this is the reality of why we feel condemned. Because it goes on. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So he's given us that blow. You are not condemned. But he continues on. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, why does he say that? Like, oh my gosh, now it's a works issue. If I'm not working, if I'm not living by the Spirit of God, then I'm condemned. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the condition of a Christian that we have found throughout chapter 7. If your mind is on the flesh, if you are walking according to the flesh, you will feel condemned. As a matter of fact, the reality is that your flesh is condemned. It's done with. It's dead. That's what the scriptures already told us. You are dead because of sin. It's dead. Done. over. But when your flesh rises up, then the only thing you have left is condemnation. We have to understand that when we are walking in the flesh, that's all you have. That's all you have. Because think about this. What does the scripture say about peace? The kingdom of God is a matter of love, joy, peace in the Holy Spirit. Peace in the Holy Spirit. When we walk according to the Spirit, which is God, walking according to God's word, walking according to His promises, resting, as we sang this morning, we rest in the truth of God's promises. You are redeemed. Don't live as though you're not. Don't let your flesh deceive you, because Paul makes it very clear that our flesh is at war with us. It is dragging you away. This is our condition, but He gives us the solution. Set your mind on those things which are of the Spirit, not on the things according to the flesh, who do not walk according to the flesh. He is not talking about someone who is really condemned or not condemned here, because He's speaking of Christians. He has not stopped talking about Himself. This is the solution to what we see in 7. Where your mind is what you will consider about yourself. And so we've got to remember, what does God say? He pronounces you not guilty. You're not guilty. I don't care who shakes their bony finger at you. You wretched sinner, you. Oh, how you violate God. Oh. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you understand that you have no right to condemn me? And nor does your flesh have any right to condemn you. Your flesh cannot give authority over God. Therefore, the solution to this is to have our minds upon Christ. And listen to what it says. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the laws. You understand what he's saying? It's made you free. It's liberated you from the law of sin and death. You no longer are under that law. Though your flesh will try to make you think yes. The law of sin and death. You see, when we sin now, there is no death to follow. Death has been swallowed up. Where, oh, death is your sting. Swallowed up. You have nothing to fear. You have been liberated from the law of sin and death. Because that is part of the law. If you sin, you die. But we're free from it. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Are you listening to me? You are free. You are liberated. You are clean because God has cleaned you. Do not make a mockery and say, God hasn't cleaned me. I'm condemned. See, that's the problem. Understand this. That is your flesh. That is your sin deceiving you. Know that. When you feel that, when you see that, it is your flesh deceiving you, because the Spirit of God says free. The Spirit of God says no condemnation. You're free. Nothing trumps the work of Christ. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. It's weak through the flesh. You still have to deal with your flesh. It's weak. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned the sin in the flesh. He condemned it. It's gone. It's done. You, therefore, have no condemnation because of what Christ did. Christ satisfied. Christ received that condemnation upon himself. He took the full measure of wrath that you never will. You never will. Just because you sin at times does not mean you're condemned. Just because the Word of God may convict you of your sin, even as a Christian, so that you will turn toward His righteousness, you are never condemned. That is God's grace and love leading you closer to Him and making you more like Christ. No condemnation. None. There's none to be had. It has been dealt with forever. He says, he condemns sin in the flesh that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, how are you walking is going to tell you how you're thinking about yourself. You've got to know what the truth is. When you begin to walk in the flesh, which we do as Christians, so do not believe that Christians don't walk in the flesh. They do. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't say that there's a war. But it's understanding that war and understanding that there's something greater. When we walk in the flesh, we will deal with the truth of condemnation that we've been freed from in the Spirit. So every time we think these things about it, it's a lie from our sinful heart. It's a lie. But God be true and every man a liar. And we lie all the time because our hearts deceive us. God does not. You are redeemed. You are set free. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. You see what he's talking about? Everything we see in here, we talk about the flesh, we talk about the Spirit, he's telling these are the troubles we have. When our mind is set on the things of the flesh, then we will be that Romans 7 individual where we are just, what am I going to do? Who's going to free me from this body of death? Christ did. And when we walk in the Spirit, which means we're walking in the truth of God, walking according to the promises of God, walking according to the gospel of Jesus Christ, preaching that gospel to ourselves every day, I am not condemned. Christ took it. I am free. Glory be to God. We are free. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You see, if we are carnally minded in our attitude, then we will not have peace. We will fear death. So when we fear death, we know we're carnally minded. Because he says, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You see, I'm not going to die. You know that, right? I'm not dying. I have eternal life. Whatever happens to this body of mine is irrelevant to my life. And I know that because that's what it says. And therefore, what does that produce in me? Peace. And if I have peace, it means I know I'm not condemned. I'm not condemned. I can have peace because I have peace with God. I have peace with God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. You see, and we got to remember this about ourselves because Paul made it very clear in chapter 7 that we have these two things happening in us. Flesh, Spirit. The law of sin, the law of Spirit. Galatians makes it clear. Spirit wars against the flesh against the spirit. It's all there. And so if we know this, what it says is true about the flesh, which we are dealing with, then we will know when we have certain thoughts, it's based upon the flesh who wishes to be legalist. If I failed, I die. I failed. Christ died. I'm not condemned. We all fail. We all fall short of the glory of God. Christ didn't. I failed. I fell short. Christ received my wrath. I am not condemned. It's done. Justice has been served. We must set our mind on the things of the Spirit, not on the things of the flesh. To set our mind on the flesh says condemned, death. To set our mind on the things of the Spirit is being liberated, life. The battle here is truly with where we have our minds, whether that's on the flesh or on the things of the Spirit. Because when we read what God has done through Jesus Christ, that is setting our mind on the things of the Spirit. And there is no doubt. It leaves us without any doubt that no wrath will ever come upon me. Not in this age or the age to come. Praise God that He will convict me and that He will bring me from these areas that bring death in my mind to the places that bring life in my mind, because I can have peace with God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Listen to how he says this. I love this. Because he's talking about these things and he's saying, you know, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. He says the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in you who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The carnally minded is death, but the spiritually minded is peace. He says the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it does not subject itself to God's law, nor indeed can it. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But this is how Paul always brings it back. He says, but you are not in the flesh. You are not in the flesh because God has given you the Spirit. Because this is what he says. He says, so you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of Christ. But if the Spirit of God lives in you, you are of Christ. And if you are of Christ, there is no condemnation. And you can walk in the Spirit of God by denying yourself, denying your flesh its nourishment, denying your flesh the opportunity to condemn you, to lie to you, to deceive you. God will not deceive you. There is no question. You are a son of God by the way of Jesus Christ. You are free. But if the Spirit of Him, I want you to hear this, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through the Spirit who dwells in you. The solution. He says to you, do you believe God? Because that's really what the question is. Do you believe God? And I know you do. Do you believe God? If you believe God, then you know that He raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And if He raised Jesus from the dead, will He not also give life to your mortal body? He gives us the Spirit that dwells within us, that He can give life to these mortal bodies today, that we can walk in the Spirit. Even when our flesh is chasing after us day and night. This is Paul's solution to chapter 7. He is telling you the truth of who you are in Christ. That's where your mind must settle. Who are you in Christ? If you know that, come at me, world. Come at me, bony fingers. There is nothing you can do to take away what God has done in Christ. Nothing. I am redeemed. Shake your bony fingers all you want. He will not change what Jesus Christ has done. And when you shake your bony fingers, just remember, at what point you judge another, you are judging yourself. You are passing judgment upon yourself when you pass judgment on another. Put those bony fingers away and cling to the cross of Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when you were in the flesh, the sinful passions were aroused by the law that were at work in your members to bear fruit for death. But now we have been delivered from the law. Legalism tells you, you are under the tyranny of the law, that the sinful desires that well up are what dictate to you whether you are justified or not. But we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. See, when we serve by the Spirit, it has to do with what God has done to us, and that we seek to love him in our obedience. We do not seek to please him that he would be pleased with us. He's given us a spirit by which to live by. He's given a word that feeds that spirit so we know what it is that God calls us to do. And the primary things that you need to focus on is not even those things that he calls us to do, to walk in. Because if you're trying to walk in all of those things without walking in the newness of life, without walking in the proclamation of there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ, if you are not walking in the fact that you've been delivered from the law, if you're not walking in those things, then to walk in anything else will be condemning to your minds. And we've been freed. When we walk by the flesh, our carnal minds will deny the truth, and we will find ourselves feeling condemned once again. Our own heart deceiving us to believe a lie. When we look at the holy word of God with all of its commandments and precepts, with the flesh, we will only find condemnation. Sin deceives us and brings death to our own minds. But when we walk according to the Spirit that God has given us, believing God, we will know we are the redeemed, the children of God, free from the penalty and condemnation and death we deserve as lawbreakers. When we look at the law of God with the eyes of the Spirit, we see God's goodness and grace, giving us light into our path, a direction and guardrails to lead us into righteousness. This is the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we may live to please God because there is no condemnation left. It's been done. We're free to serve God. We're free to pursue righteousness without the pains of death hanging over our heads. We can seek God with our whole heart, knowing that God will work in us to will and to do according to His good pleasure. Jesus Christ came in the flesh that He may destroy the works of the flesh. And in His coming, He did everything that you were required to do. And He took upon Himself sin, becoming sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He paid the penalty and destroyed sin in the flesh, destroyed the wrath that is deserved. He took away the law of sin and death. That's why when you sin today, you will not die, because it's been covered. And we say, thank you, Lord, for bringing attention to that so that I may glorify you, because I have no fear of condemnation. I look to the glory, the precious work of God to make us like His Son. Embrace correction. Embrace conviction, because there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are free, liberated from the chains of death and sin that so easily entangles us. Let's pray. Most glorious God and Father, as we come before You now, we just praise You. We thank You for Christ. We thank You for the work that has been done for all eternity. I pray, Father, You would help us all, because none of us are free from this battle that rages. Help us to always go back to Your gospel. If we feel condemned, help us know it's a lie, that my flesh is rising up against me and lying to me about You, and setting my mind squarely upon Your word, Your truth, who tells me there is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation. None. Help us, Father, for we do struggle. We do seek our self-righteousness. We do, Father, seek all things in the flesh. And, Father, that does not bring us life and peace. But what You have done is a matter of life and peace. Help us, Father, to deny that flesh and cling to this joy. Cling to the truth of Your gospel. For in You, Father, we are Your children and being made into the likeness of Your Son, Jesus Christ. It is in His name I pray. Amen.